be here. God bless, Sister Clarice.
I don't want to think about it too long. When you feel something moving on the inside, just go on and, like the song said, give up and let Jesus take over.
Right, man.
You know, they said that he'll make a way somehow. So, you know, our pastor, he tells us that we have to make a statement of where you are. So I haven't got up to testify in a while. So I thought I'd let the devil know that I'm still in the running. Amen. I thought I don't want to do form and fashion. I came to worship. And I'm running for Jesus as hard as I can. Now the Lord has been working with me. He said, get organized. You know, he can do it like he wants to. And so I'm praising God and I'm thanking God for my healing.
Amen.
Because once again, he never lies.
No.
He never says anything he doesn't mean.
Right.
And he never does not come to pass.
Right.
So I just wanted to let the devil know. I'm running for Jesus. Can I sing that?
Yeah. What are you singing?
I've been running for Jesus a long time. And I'm not tired yet. Well, I've been running for Jesus a long time, and I'm not tired. Well, I've been running for Jesus a long time, and I'm not tired.
I said, oh, no, I'm not tired.
Well, I've been running for Jesus a long time,
and I'm not tired yet.
I've been running for Jesus a long time,
and I'm not tired yet.
Well, I've been
running for Jesus a long time, and I'm not tired yet. I'm not tired. I'm not tired.
Well, I'm running
for Jesus.
I'm running
for Jesus.
I'm running
for Jesus.
I'm running
for Jesus.
I'm running for Jesus.
I'm not tired.
I'm running for Jesus. I'm not tired.
I'm running for Jesus. I'm not tired yet. Thank you. You know, Sister Belinda, when she gets it, she's going to talk to you. I thank God for being in a service where I can praise God.
Amen.
I can
Amen.
just be thankful for all that he's done. Brother Moore, this ministry yeah. has saved my life.
Amen.
It has set a course yeah. that I know where I'm going to end up.
Right.
And I just have to hang on. I don't have to worry about this, that, or the other. I have to follow the prescription.
Right,
the tools
right,
have been
right,
given
right.
to me. And all I have to do, and I apply it because I know you told me to, when I don't do what you say, you're going to suffer for it. Don't get
right,
up.
Sure.
Brother
we
Moore has
that.
Always, when he Lord, rebukes yes, me, my God, he's been nothing but right.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you that, sister and brother. He's been right. He calls black, black. He calls white, white. And he's going to do it, and he's going to do it right. And I appreciate your spirit. You know, when God has shown you that he's going to keep you, he's going to keep the things you've committed to him. I can come here and y'all know I've cried at the pulpit. I've been rebuked. But I can still say I'm standing because this
Amen.
Word is true. This word is faithful.
Right.
God's word will see us through.
Yes.
And I thank God for something that's certain. The world and the things that go on and the spirits that come and, you know, you see them all over. And you just say, my word, this is a crazy place. But in that, you can still have peace because you have peace in the midst of this. The storms of the world,
right, yeah.
They can just roll off because God's been good. And he showed me that he's faithful.
Amen.
I just thank God for keeping the things that I've, you know, when things happen, you say, good Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, something happened with my spouse, some situation came on up, and I was like, okay, that could have been worse, but it didn't happen
right.
like that.
Amen.
So you look
Thank
at things
God.
And you say, I know, right? And you say, thank you, Lord. If a car catches fire, that someone comes to your aid, and you say, oh, I'm going to give that person eternal life. They
right.
put the fire extinguisher, ran out. They say, buddy, get out of the car. You know, the people who come, the emergency people who
right.
come, and the spirits that they have, and you look at them, they look at you, and you say,
yes.
thank you, God, for our heroes who are
yeah.
firefighters,
yeah,
who are people, policemen. And I thank God for all that he's done,
sure.
that he keeps things that I know you think I'm redundant perhaps, but God is so good.
No,
and
good.
He's been good to me. And I thank God for that peace that Amen. Passes all understanding.
Amen.
I didn't want to get in front of the brothers, but while I was up here, I thought I might as well testify
Come
too, because God
there.
Has
Do
been
it.
So good, and he is so good. Why can't we praise a God like that, you know? And I'm just so thankful to be here and to be under this word
yes.
and to be able to believe this
yes.
word and to grow in this word. There's
yes.
nothing like it. We couldn't get through this world without it. There's too much chaos, you know, too much turmoil, and this just gives me a rest and a peace,
it
and
does.
Pastor Moore's guidance, you know, is just beyond everything man could muster up. It has to be God, you know. He is
Amen.
God, and I appreciate having God be our leader and to tell us right from wrong
yeah.
and to guide us
yes.
and to just let us know what we are marching, our marching orders are, and what we're going to do going forward.
Yes,
he
Amen.
Doesn't let us slip or get by and lax off, and I praise God for that. He's
Amen.
Just a wonderful God.
Yes,
Amen.
Is. Thank
Sister
you,
God?
Jesus.
Amen.
It's beautiful.
Amen.
Praise God.
My heart is full. I was sitting over there thinking, why do I let my feet be like cement and not get up and
Just
praise?
Get up.
He deserves the praise. He deserves
Amen.
The praise. I walked up this aisle today before people came, and I thought I could walk.
That's right.
Amen.
I was singing. I said, I can breathe.
Amen.
Amen.
And I'm grateful
yes.
for all God's done in my life. But the biggest thing, and I want to give him praise, is I have a representation inside me, he himself.
Amen.
That can believe and stand on the word. And when you preach
Amen.
It and it comes and it walks these aisles, I can grab onto it and take
Amen.
It home. I'm just so grateful for all he's done. I'm grateful for my husband.
Amen.
I'm grateful for the body. I just wanted to praise him because he deserves it.
Yes, he does.
Amen.
That's why I love you. I love you.
Amen.
Oh, no.
I love you, Lord, today.
Because you cared for me. In such a special way, that's why I praise you. I lift you up and I magnify your name. That's why my heart is filled with praise.
Testimony here. I'm a testify and I'm a sing a song. So, Sister Clarice, get ready. You're singing a song with me. She's done that to all of us enough. I want to sing "There's Something Within Me." You know, we come Amen. Here to church, Amen. And the only difference, Sister Belinda, and is that we have a receiver on the inside of us. God gives rebuke to a lot of people. God gives a lot of rebuke and God talks, but a lot of people don't pick him up. God speaks every service, and a lot of people can't hear it.
Come on.
Just like you're nodding your head, yes, there's people that are nod their head, no. Amen. Just like you can come in here and say there's nothing but the truth, there's people that say, I just can't agree with it. Just like I come in here and I'm just turned on and I'm enthused, there's people that come here and they just can't get turned on. They can't just get enthused. So I don't praise God for the worldly things. I praise God for the revelation that there's nothing I did that I didn't muster this up. Amen. I didn't study it up. And sure, I study. And sure, I listen. And sure, I apply this thing.
Yeah,
but there's something on the inside of me makes me do
come
it.
On. Yeah.
There's something on the inside of me, just like breathing.
Something.
Oh, I breathe every day. I'm breathing right now. I have to breathe.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
There's something on the inside of me that just makes it happen.
Right.
I can't tell you how it happens. I can't explain to you when it does. I know that when I get out of breath, my body starts doing the things to make sure I can breathe more. When I go through desperation, my body does what it needs to make sure I get more air. That's the same thing that happens with the Word of God. When I go through a tough situation, it makes me need God even more.
Raise up a
stand. I don't think I don't need God.
No.
I realize that I need him even more. If I have something good going on, I still don't think I don't need God. I still realize I need him even more.
Sure.
See, that was my revelation I got years ago, that I need God as much on my best days,
Amen.
As best as I need him on my worst days.
That's right.
And that just leveled me out.
Thank you.
Because a lot of times when you're getting in this thing, you get wavy. You get wavy. And that's just, you're just immature.
That's right.
That's just like a kid. They're wavy. They're wavy. You know, they cry if they don't eat. They cry if they're hungry. They cry if they're dirty. Because their emotions are crazy. They don't know how to handle it.
Right.
But I don't cry all the time now.
No.
I got a revelation that God is just as good as he was yesterday as he is today. If life throws tomatoes or lemons or whatever, I'll make a soup and I'll make some lemonade.
Sure.
But I'm just saying that when you come in here, it's not even on your smartness. You know, it's not that you've read so many scriptures. It's not that you've read so many message books. And I believe you should read them all.
Sure.
I want to go on record and say, I believe you should read them all.
Really?
But it takes somebody to quicken that word that you've received. And that quickening power can only happen if there's God inside of you.
Amen.
Because God reconciles the world unto himself. He's pulling himself out of you. So when we come here, it's not that I know so much, that I see so much and blah, blah, blah. Those are all great things that happen and those are great testimonies. But really what I come here to praise God for is that there's something on the inside
Amen.
Of me that you can't take away, you can't touch.
Right.
Man didn't give it.
Very light.
So if man didn't give it, then man can't take it away. Let's sing this song. There's something
Amen.
Within me.
Amen.
Help me out here. Grab a mic.
I'll get you another glass of water.
Yeah, get you a glass of water. Let's go. Let's sing this song. Something within me.
Something within me that holdeth the rain.
Hallelujah.
There's just something within. hallelujah. Oh, it vanishes, it pains. It's just something within me. I just cannot explain. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. All that I know. Hallelujah. It's just something. It's something within me.
There's something within me
that's holding the rain. Something within me. Oh, it banishes pain. Something within me. I cannot explain. All that I know, all that I know, is that
there's something within.
Preachers and teachers,
preachers and teachers,
just make your appeal. Your body like soldiers on God's great battlefield. This message you're preaching,
message you're preaching,
I know that it's real.
I know that it's real.
So go out and tell it, tell everybody,
it's just something within me,
something within me,
it's something within me
that holds the rain.
Sister Clarice, what she started was right. When you have something in you, you have to let it out. But I felt convicted because I didn't really have anything with it today. The Holy Spirit told me, you know, we're supposed to bear fruit in season and out of season. That fig tree got cursed because it did not bear fruit when God wanted it. And each one of us, we've been given everything we need. It's in there, whether you feel like it or not that day.
That's right.
We should be prepared to bear fruit whenever. I'm going to sit back down because I don't have anything else, but this
is amen. Amen.
God bless you.
Amen.
That's
same right. Page.
I'd like to hear Lemon.
Okay.
Come on up, Sister Lane.
Amen.
Yeah. Oh, the grandpa's coming to do it. Amen. While Sister Laney's coming up, I'll say the announcements while she's getting ready. We got September the 16th, we're going to be at the Brinkman's. September the 25th, we've got church pictures. Please do not be late. Then October 15th weekend, we're going to Brother Fred's in South Carolina. And then November the 20th, we've got Thanksgiving dinner here at the church. So remember that. Also, Brother Caleb graduates Thursday from his course, so exciting. Talk about a hero. So I'm looking forward to that, so amen. Yeah.
I'm so grateful to be here this morning. I'm amen. Thankful for this place. Tomorrow marks 35 years that I've been
wow.
here. 35 years, and 35 years of marriage to that wonderful man right
amen.
There.
Amen. Beautiful.
Thankful for my life. I'm thankful for God just picking me up from a little old country church in Indiana. You know, that was just nothing but God. My parents went there long enough just to have Ted come and get me.
Amen.
You know, and I just, I'm grateful for that. I'm always, always grateful, you know, for him handpicking me and bringing me to the truth. Amen. I'm just so full this morning. I don't even know what to say, but I'm just thankful. Just, Amen. He's
Amen.
Good.
Amen. Amen.
Sing Let the Worshippers Arise.
Amen.
Father, I see that you are drawing a line in the sand, and I want to be standing on your side, holding your hand. So let your kingdom come, let it live in me. This is my prayer, this is my plea.
Let the worshipers arise.
I feel like traveling on.
I just want to say something real quick since I'm up here. I'm just thankful for this place. That song always gets me every time, but it's just, you know, I'm just thankful for what we have. And, you know, we have a lot of answers that people don't. People live rough lives and they are lost. And I'm just thankful that I have such a foundation here. And just everyone to be able to just lean on. You know, if I'm going through anything, my parents are such a blessing. They've just been, I don't know, just rocks in my life, and I'm just thankful that I can lean on them whenever I need, and I'm just thankful for being here.
Amen.
God will always call you out. I've always thinking like, what if someone just called me up? I better be prepared. And sure. Obviously I wasn't. So it's a learning lesson for me. But I'm so thankful to be here. I'm thankful to have a wonderful husband. Can't believe I've been with him and been going to this church for almost 7 years now. It's insane. Such a huge blessing to see that beautiful little baby out there, and she's my whole world, and I'm just so grateful to be here. So
amen. God bless you. Amen.
Amen. Feel like traveling on key of G.
Yes. Feel like traveling on.
My heavenly home is bright and fair. Yes, I feel like traveling on. No pain nor death can enter there. Lord knows I feel like
traveling on.
Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, I do feel like traveling on. We've got the greatest message, the greatest revelation, the clearest understanding that they've had all down through the ages. And Lord, we of all the people should be able to rejoice. And we should feel like traveling on, moving forward, knowing that, Lord, we know the whole story now. We're not groping in darkness, guessing at this. We know what it is. Ask you to come and travel with us today. Walk with us. Talk to us. Reveal yourself to us. Thank you for this waiting congregation. They love you, Lord. They want to hear from you. They don't want to hear from me. Ask you to move both the speaker and the hearer aside, that you can walk these aisles and reveal yourself to us like it's never been done. Lord, as we read the scriptures, let them be clearer than they've ever been. As the revelation rolls forth today, Lord, let it speak to our hearts like it's never spoke. We send your word to Trevor. Lord, ask you to continue to touch him, Father. Oh, it's, as his mom said, it's not a sprint, it's a marathon. And we're believing for you to touch and move on his behalf. Oh, I know you can touch him right now and it can be done. But Lord, even if he has to do the recovery, let your guiding hand be with him and bring him total healing, that Father, he could stand in this church and testify of the goodness of God and how you've touched him. Ask you to be with us today. Speak to our hearts. And have your way with us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. It's good to be in the house of the Lord again today. It's always good to be here. The best place you could be on this side. And it's good to see you all here. Glad that you're taking part in the services. I want to always appreciate you for what you do, because we all sacrifice and we all give and we all receive. So I'm thankful for that. Now, I got another letter that I want to read that I got from a sister and brother in Kentucky. They're also in Jackson. It says, from Paul and Gloria Smith. It says, Brother Nate Moore, sorry it's taken me so long to get back with you. We have been busy at church working with the flood victims. Thank you very much for the money that Jim and Sue Combs brought down for donations. We gave Palmer's Baptist Church $100. South Fork United Baptist Church gave them money too, and Harvey Bend United Baptist Church, they gave them money. So they gave what you gave to them to three.
There you go.
So like I said, we can't cover and pay for everybody's issues and problems down there, but we can help. You can help, and you have. And these three churches are trying to rebuild. I think we have seven churches total, lost everything. Still need prayers. Thanks again for your help from your church and congregation. Thanks to Jim and Sue. We love them dear. Brother, if we don't meet here on earth, I'll see you on the other side.
Amen.
Praise God. Love you all. Paul and Gloria Smith. So, our ambassadors, you know, and we say Sue's our ambassador, but Sue and Jim. He's a undercover believer. Jim, he's in the background, but he's a believer. And so he represented us as well going down with Sue, and everybody knows that. And so when you see Sue, you see Jim. So thank you again for your help and your support. Now, we don't know what all is going to be needed down the road, but if duty calls for us to do something else, we will let you again know about that. Don't forget about the upcoming trip in October. to South Carolina. I think they're actually going to have their meetings Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday or something like that. So we're going to be coming in the middle of the meeting and leaving before it's done. So it's going to be a quick turnaround. Yes, John? Tonight, Bible study is canceled. Yes, we will not have Bible study tonight. So you'll have to come back next week with your questions or whatever, your comments, or, you know, because it's not just me. It's not just us ministers. It's a body edifying and talking to the body. It's like when you're sitting at a dinner table and you're having conversations. It's everybody talking, not just the person at the head of the table. So it seems like you all are enjoying them. So it seems like it's getting the job done and edifying the body. So we want to continue on until it changes to where we need to change something else. You know, they say if God moves and then something comes up and it changes, we just change with it. So enjoy the Bible studies while you have them. Because it's not guaranteed to last. It's really not. I don't know how long it'll go. I don't know. I just don't know. I don't run this thing. He does. And when he says go, I go. When he says stop, I stop. Whether y'all like it or not. It's like, this is what God's saying. And so we move by that. And remember Brother Lockett in your prayers. He's not feeling well this morning. So just keep him in your prayers. And I got another surprise. I sort of told y'all this is coming, but Brother June Pardillo's in the country. He's at Troy's summer camp, and he emailed me the other day and said he's at Troy. He's here. He's in Troy with the summer camp, and he'll see us soon. So I emailed him back, said, when, where, how long are you going to be with us? You know, I'm trying to get information from him, but as soon as I find out more, I'll let you know. But he doesn't like to come all the way from the Philippines and not come by and see us. And I appreciate that in him. And so just keep that in your prayers and mind. And I don't know, next service or two or whatever, he'll be showing up. And speaking of Wednesday night, Brother Eric Covey will be with us. He's going to be ministering Wednesday. He's finally pulled the food out of the oven. And it's took long enough now that he's ready to serve it. So I told him we're looking forward to hearing from him. So it's good. You know, it's good to be free in Christ.
Amen.
You know, not bogged down and not locked in some law, some ritual, something that you just... I like it when God mixes it up. I sit on the organ, God said, get Laney up. I said, okay. And so God wants to mix it up. He doesn't like the same old stale bread. You know, he doesn't want the same old... If you know what's going to happen here at home, then we need to switch it up. Because it shouldn't be that way. God's never done anything twice the same way. And I love it that way because God's here to help us in a simple way. He wants us to understand this word. And this isn't difficult. Serving God isn't hard. It really isn't. And if you're struggling today, you're struggling because you haven't, as we sang, give up. You know, when you give up and let Jesus take over, he will take care of everything. And you don't have to fight and fuss and struggle and press and push and try to make your way into heaven. Heaven's way has been made for you. And it's so easy to go to heaven. It's hard to go to hell. It's a hard way to go to hell, but it's easy to go to heaven.
Amen.
And all you got to do to get to heaven is to believe the report. People make a lot of things out of it. They make it very difficult. They make it hard to go, and they have you sweating and straining and trying to get God and trying to learn God, and you're not going to learn God.
No.
You're not going to learn God. You're not going to get enough education to where you got it and you feel like, well, I know what it is. You will never know what it is unless he reveals it to you himself. You'll think you know what it is, and you might go a long way with your head knowledge, but that is not enough to really seal it in. If God doesn't come and personally speak to you, you can't get this. I don't care how smart you are. And people try to be smart. They think they're going to outsmart God.
Yeah.
They think that you can... You know, I think it was, they read last week, Ananias and Sapphira. I think it was Jay reading that. And they thought they were smarter than God. They thought, if we just don't let them know what's going on, then we can fool God and fool God's people, and we can get away with it and still make a little profit on the side. And they actually thought that they were pulling something over. And people come to church actually trying to fool God. And you're not fooling God. You're fooling yourself. The only people that were there that were fooled was Ananias and Sapphira. They were the only ones fooled because they thought that they knew what they were doing and thought that they can get around God. But you don't get around God's. You know, it's a dangerous thing to get around God's people. Because the word is discerner. And the word will discern you, and God'll let the people around you know what's going on when you think you got it hit. See, when the wife came in, she thought that maybe she could just agree with her husband, and they'll be all right.
Yeah.
Little did she know, they already dealt with him, and he was dead and gone.
Yeah.
And she jumped on his lie, and the same result happened to her. So that happens in the natural. But, you know, when you come to church and you're playing church, do you know you're spiritually dead?
Right.
You really are. And you don't even know it. Everybody around it knew Ananias was dead but him. And everybody knew his wife was too. And so, see, you don't fool God by coming into the house of God and playing with God. You don't. It doesn't pay. And my mother said, I'd rather you play with your daddy than to play with God. And that's how serious it was, because you didn't play with my daddy, and let alone God. When my mama said that, I was like, you don't do that. So you don't come around God's people and act like you're a part of God's people without getting on the road. You know, you got to be fully dressed in this hour with the Word of God. So I got a scripture I want to read this morning. I'm not going to try to hold you long. I'm going to try to get us out of here decent and... But pray for Dwayne and Jeremiah. They're all both out today, and I think they went two different directions. But, you know, there's people that are still trying to get the last of the vacations in for the summer, and God bless them. And I'm excited about what's coming up. God's always doing something. But I'm also excited about what's here, what's happening right now. So if you want to turn with me, I got one scripture I want to read, well-known scripture. And I felt to read this to start with this morning. I want to turn over to Luke chapter 10. And I got one verse I want to read there. And it's something about reading this Bible. I love it. It has so much in it. And it covers everything you ever need to know about God. And everything you need to know about yourself. So if you turn over to Luke chapter 10, I have one verse here. And that is verse 21. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hath revealed them unto babe. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. You have hid these things from the wise and prudent and had revealed them unto babes. I want to title this message this morning, God in Simplicity. And this is a message that Brother Branham preached back when he was first coming into the understanding himself. And the thing I love about the scripture reading is that God's the revealer. It's not your smartness. It's not your education. If you're waiting until, some people wait until they get it all before they say, okay, now this is for me. And you'll never get it all.
Amen.
As long as we're here, we will be learning. As long as we're here, God's going to be revealing. Sometimes you got to ask yourself, what am I waiting on? What am I really waiting on? Sometimes we put God off. God tells us to do something. We'll say, well, you know, I'll do it eventually. I'll get to it eventually. But before I get there, I need to understand this. I need to feel this. I need to make sure of that. And a lot of times when we're trying to make sure, all we're doing is hindering God from blessing you.
Amen.
I mean, you could be blessed sooner than later. You don't have to be blessed later. You can be blessed right now. A lot of people think that when they get to heaven, It's when it's all going to be howdy, howdy, and never goodbyes, and they're going to have a good time. You can have a good time serving God right now. Amen. And sometimes the reason we aren't blessed is because we don't accept the blessing. God tries to bless you with something, somebody, some deal, some job, and we'll sit back. Well, Lord, I know that sounds good, but let me check all my options. See, what you got to do is you need to learn how to live by faith. Amen. See, this thing comes by faith. It doesn't come by head knowledge. It doesn't come by your smartness. It doesn't come by what you can do or how you do it or what you can bring to the table. We don't have anything to bring to the table. We can't do this on our own. If you think that you're going to control your life and decide what part of it you're going to give to God and what part you're going to keep to yourself, or you got to ask yourself, what am I holding on to? Why am I holding back? Why am I taking back and think I've got options? I think sometimes we feel like we've got options when we really don't. Amen. We think it's our decisions when it's really not our decisions. We think we choose to do these things when, you know what, you choose to do them, but God knew you would choose them. I mean, you're not fooling God, and sometimes we hold back. Oh, I don't want to sing. Oh, I don't want to testify. Oh, I don't want to preach. Oh, I don't want, but why?
Right, amen.
Why do we hold these things back? Why do we hold our life back? God might want to bless you with a new job, and you're hesitant to jump out of because you want to be, quote unquote, sure. What are you sure about? The Bible said, take no thought. You don't have to think about it. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to hold on. God is not trying to hurt you. Matter of fact, when God lays things in your path, He lays it in your path for your own good. All things work together for your good. See, you got to understand that this is not you doing this. It's not you walking this. It's not you deciding and making good, wise decisions. You do the best you can, and you trust God for the rest. I mean, when it comes to changing jobs, you don't know whether it's the right job or not. You don't know that until you get in there. And a lot of times, by the time you get in there, you realize, I don't even know if I like this job. But see, that's you. But what you need to look at is, what does God have me here for? Amen. See, we don't know how to live by faith. We don't know how to live by revelation. We don't live by our thinking, our head knowledge, and try to figure it out ourselves and use our smartness and use our abilities. And a lot of time we waste a whole lot of times, years. We waste years when you could be blessed. Amen. And you're not blessed because it took you years to figure out, you know what? I got to give it up and let God have it. Oh, yeah. Well, you could have done that years ago.
Amen. Right. Well, I know you're right.
And we all want God's blessing. Yeah. But a lot of time we try to use our thinking, our smartness, our education, our understanding. We think we know what we're doing. We think we know what we're supposed to do. Yeah. We think we know how we're supposed to live, and we don't know nothing. We need to learn to lean. Amen. We need to learn to put it in His hands. We need to live by faith. And when we step out on something, don't worry about what the outcome's going to be. See, we're always worrying about the outcome. God is the outcome. If you put it in His hands, He will take care of the details. He will take care of you. You say, what if I make a wrong decision? Then make another decision. You're not doing this thing because God wants you to do this thing. You're doing this thing because of who you are. Right. See, we move because of who we are. Amen. We move around and we do what God wants because of who we are. Amen. Not because of what we decide. Not because of what we think it is. Right. Not because we think we made the best decision. I make a lot of decisions I think are stupid.
Right.
I go down a lot of alleys. God bless you, Brother Alex.
What?
Look who's home. I make a lot of decisions that I think are right decisions, and I look like a dead-end street. Yeah. But you know what happens when I get to that dead-end street? I got to realize, God, you told me.
Yeah.
God, you promised me. Amen. God, you said.
Yeah.
See, I don't care. He said, in any situation, He will make a way out.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh.
always make a way out.
Sir.
So you can't make a wrong decision when you're a child of God.
Amen.
Your wrong decisions will be okay.
Yeah, right.
But we don't know how to trust God.
Yeah.
We don't know how to lean on God.
Yeah,
we don't know how to step out on God.
Yeah.
We think we got to decide. We think we got to do. We think we got to produce. You don't produce nothing.
Amen.
We waste so much time trying to do what we feel led to do. I ain't worried about your leading. Nine times out of ten, your leading's wrong anyway.
That's right.
If it wasn't the fact that you were a seed of God, you'd be messed up.
Yeah.
But when you're trying to follow your leading, if you're a seed of God, God will make that wrong right.
Amen.
He's not trying to lead your life by your education. He's not trying to lead your life by how much you know. A lot of times we won't even step out on faith because we're too busy trying to wait to decide if it's what you want to do.
Amen.
It ain't even about what you want to do. It's about, God, what is your will for my life? God, where do you want me? What do you want in my life? You lead me. You guide me. You direct me.
Amen.
Have faith in God.
Yes.
Don't have faith in your abilities because you've made mistakes all the way up to this far. So why are you going to depend on yourself now? You ain't been right up to this point. You hadn't been right up to this point. You didn't make the right decision to get you here. You're here by the grace of God.
Amen.
It ain't because you made the right choices. Your choices are all wrong. But the grace of God is all right. God might have a spouse for you. You'll sit back waiting, wondering if, wondering when, wondering. Have faith in God. It's not about you anyway.
Right.
It's about what God wants in your life.
Amen.
He said, well, what if I get the wrong one? You can't get the wrong one.
Right.
You can't.
You're led by God.
Yeah.
If I'm led by God, everything I decide is right. I only do that that pleases him.
That's right.
To say, we don't know how to trust God.
Right.
We don't know how to walk by faith. We walk by education. We walk by what we think. But God wants you to have faith in him.
Yes.
He wants you to trust him. Step out. You say, well, what if it's the wrong mate? You can't get the wrong mate. You know what? Even when you get the wrong mate on this side, it's still the right mate. Because the right one that God has for you, because you got stuff you got to do.
Right.
You got stuff. Sometimes God will give you a mate just to give you your kids.
Right.
You'll get your kids and your mate goes away. And then they'll look and you'll look and say, well, I made a mistake. No, you didn't. You've been blessed. You got your kids. If you don't have nothing else, your kids are a blessing from God. You say, well, I don't see no good out of my whole marriage. Look at what God's produced in your marriage. So you need to know how to look at things. Our problem ain't that God ain't blessing us. Our problem is we don't give him credit for it. Oh, I've had to talk to many, many brothers and sisters when they get in those problems and their marriage breaks up. And they say, oh, well, I made a mistake. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. God bless you. You had many years of this. You had many years of that. You've grown and you have kids and you've got life. You got all these things and you're pouting because it didn't end up the way you wanted it to end up. But it ain't about how it ends up. It's about what God's got in store for you. And if God says that he's going to take you through a divorce, you know what you should do? Step right out in it. And I don't even believe in divorce. But if I go through one, God's going with me. So I ain't going to worry about picking my mate because I'm worried about divorce. What if we're not compatible? What makes you compatible is that God is in you and God is in your mate, period. That's the only compatibility that you need to worry about. Me and Clarice's difference is night and day. If we waited on compatibility, we'd have never got together. We still here are 30 plus 7 years or whatever it is, still worry about, is she the right one for me? Wasted 37 years. Do you know how much we've done in 37 years?
Amen.
I gotta be sure. You'll never be sure.
Come on.
Amen.
That's what faith is about.
Yes.
You're not stepping out on faith when you're sure.
No.
Faith is a substance of things hoped for.
Yes.
The very evidence of things not seen.
Amen.
You don't walk because you see, you walk because you believe.
Amen.
You don't pick a mate because you see, you pick a mate because you believe.
Right.
You don't come to church because you see, you come to church because you believe.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
You preach it.
We got it all messed up. We got our God all up here somewhere when God is just as simple as he can be. He's as simple as somebody walking up to you. He's as simple as a preacher talking to you. We want to see God, but we don't recognize that God is so simple right now that he stands in front of you in a human being, and you'll overlook that because you're waiting on God. You're waiting on God for an answer. You don't have to wait now.
No.
You don't have to wait now.
No.
If God is here,
amen,
get with him.
Yeah.
Amen.
Well, amen.
Say, but I got to be sure. You'll never be sure.
Amen.
I still question if I got the right mate. It only happens when we're arguing. It only happens when things ain't going my way. But you know what I have always leaned on? Let me tell you a secret. What I've leaned on for 37 years that God said.
God said.
God said. It doesn't matter what it looks like. Doesn't matter what I feel. Don't matter how mad she gets at me. God said. And if God said it, you can build on it. You say, well, if I can get a word from God, then I can step out on anything. Yes. God in simplicity. That's how easy it is. Why halt you between two opinions? If God be God, serve him. It's that simple. God ain't some big old hard thing to find. God is so simple. If you know his voice and you hear him, you should be able to step out on what he said. Peter stepped out on the water and walked. He actually walked on water. You thought Jesus was the only man that walked on water. No. Peter walked on water. And as long as he kept his eyes on Jesus, he walked on water. But when he started looking around at the waves and the tempest and the fact that he shouldn't be walking on water. See where you run into problem? It's so simple. God says, step out on my word. You're not even really believing God if you don't step out on his word. If you're sitting here holding back because you feel like you got to wait on something, what are you waiting on? God's word is God's word. He's not going to give you a second word until you follow the first one. Some people come to me for advice. I give it to them. And they don't follow it. Then they come back for seconds. If your plate is full and you're coming up for me to dip you another piece of chicken in there, I ain't giving you nothing else. Eat what you got. You asking God for something and he already gave you 10 things to do and you ain't done those 10, but you come for 11. You know what you are. You're a spoiled brat and you just want to eat what you want to eat. But you got to eat all that God puts on your plate. If God tells you to clean your house, clean your house. Don't come and ask God for visions when your house is dirty. Don't ask for more if you ain't taking care of what he's given you.
Amen.
You say, oh, I want to dream dreams. I want to see visions. First of all, he wants you to step out on his word and have faith in him.
Yeah.
All right.
It's real easy.
Right.
It's real simple. God's not hard to hear.
No.
Amen. That's
right. You can pick him up easy. He's right in front of you. I'm throwing you hints.
Yeah.
I'm throwing you hints. I'm trying to let you know I'm here. You're still trying to use your thinking. Trying to use your ideas. Trying to use your understanding. Lean not to your own understanding. Have faith in God. That's how simple it is. We make it hard. We make God hard. We make it hard to get hold of God. We make it hard to hear from God. We make it hard to receive from God. We make it hard to step out on God's word. But we can't do that. It's real simple.
Amen.
Jesus said, I thank thee, Heavenly Father. You hid it. See, God's not hiding it from us.
No.
He's not trying to be a mysterious God up here somewhere. See, all the mysteries are open now. If God's still a mystery to you, then it's not his fault. If God ain't answering your prayers, it's not his fault. He said, I'm waiting on God. Why? He's here.
Right.
That's right.
He's here. He's here. You can call him. You can text him. You can shake his hand. You can hear his voice.
Yeah.
You can see him.
Yeah.
He's so here.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Amen.
When Jesus was here, the only way they were going to see God was to see Jesus. Real simple. Real simple. Go where Jesus is, you'll go where God is. Real simple. Not hard. We get up to now, but when we talk about us, well, I got to go pray about it. Who are you praying to? I'm praying to God. Where's God? Well, God's in his word. Where's his word? Well, the Bible. Let me go. No. You miss God. God is the Son of Man. He's a word made flesh. In this hour, you cannot hear from God unless you hear from me. You say, you being a man, make yourself equal with God. There's another Pharisee. You got to understand, God is really simply here. Oh, I'm not the only a son of man, but I know I'm one. I know what my job is. I know what my role is. I know why I'm here. I know what I got to tell you. And I'm going to tell you what God tells me to tell you if you don't believe me. If you don't like it, if you think you got a better way, I'm telling you, there is no better way. There is no other answer. There is no other way to get a hold of God but finding human skin. It's simple. He's made himself so simple now. It's more easy now to get a hold of God than it's ever been.
Amen.
It's even more easy to get a hold of God now than it was when Jesus was here. Because when Jesus was here, you had to go to Jerusalem. You had to go to Mount Sinai. You had to chase around everything. But here, we go to work. We go to store. We go to other places. We go. He's in a many-membered body. Greater works. Brother Brown said more works. But we take the simplicity of serving God because you know why we take the simplicity out? Because it's not enough work. It's not enough work. We want to make ourselves feel like we're doing something for God. God had everything before you did anything. So you sit here in your thinking, holding back on God. God wants you to testify. Why do we sit here? I know it's human nature, but I'm just throwing this out here. Maybe just for me. Why do we sit here and debate in our mind whether we should get up or not? Like Don said, got cement. Dragging her. God told me to get up. When God tells me to do something, I'll do it. And I don't care what anybody thinks. Right. We sit and worry about what other people think.
Yeah.
We sit and worry about, is it God or is it not God? Does it match his word? Yeah. Then it's God. And see, God is simplicity, people. Yeah. It's not that hard. You can tell it's God because it's his word.
Amen.
But he didn't hide it from us. He didn't keep himself from us. He's not trying to keep himself a mystery in this hour that we're living in. God is not mystery anymore. It's only a mystery until it's revealed.
Amen.
And it was revealed in 1963 at the opening of the seals. When God come down to earth, he veiled himself in human skin. And at that point, you cannot hear from God ever again except for you find him in human skin. No other place. No other. Brother Branham preached a message. God's provided place of worship.
Amen.
God has a provided place of worship. And it's simple. It's easy to find. It's easy to get into that place of worship. It's easy to get where God is. Because when you find where God's word is, you found God. And then when you find God, you shouldn't have a question about anything that you can't get an answer. When Brother Chisholm was here, there was nothing I couldn't ask him. Nothing. I didn't have to go home and worry about nothing. Didn't have to go home and debate anything. Didn't have to go home and what did he mean about that? If I didn't understand what he said, I'd stop him right here. When I first come here, every service, Brother Childers would finish preaching 2-3 hours. I'd stop him right here.
Right there.
Right.
I had questions. I was new. Brother Childers, you said this. And he'd stand there and he'd talk to me. I was so ignorant. I didn't know his wife was sitting in the car waiting for him to come out to go eat. He'd preach for 3 hours. Then I'd hold him another hour here. And by the time he got out to his car, his wife was hot. Because she'd been waiting for him. And I didn't know, though. I just was like, I need to know. I found God. I can get an answer to anything. What do you think is happening on Sunday night? Do you realize you're sitting here talking to God? Do you know Jesus in the temple at the age of 12 was answering questions that they couldn't answer? Do you know you come here Sunday night with questions that nobody can answer, and God comes down here and answers every one of them. Answers every one of them. But you're looking for God. You're trying to find God. And I'm waiting on God. But I'm not trying to get you to say that I'm the only one, but I am the one. I'm one of the ones. I know what I got. I know who I am. When Brother Children would preach, I knew who he was. You can't even get God until you find him in somebody else in this hour. You have to find the Son of Man before you can become the Son of Man. And it's real easy. It's real simple. God has hid himself in such a simple way that the children of God can find him. And it's easy to find him. First of all, they'll hear him. And then they'll recognize him. And they'll know his voice. And when they recognize that voice, they'll follow him. That's what the word says. That's why I have to worry about you guys. I don't have to come in here and hide the fact that I'm God. You understand that? I don't have to hide the fact that you're God. I understand that. I understand who we are. You say, well, you better watch how you say it. You know what? There's a point that Jesus got tired of hiding what he was going to say. Oh, he first of all, just sort of hid behind the miracles. Turned the water into wine. Hid behind the healings. Tabitha, come up. Hid behind all those other pools. But then he knew he only had 3.5 years. He knew his time was winding up. He finally got to a place where he said, you know what? If y'all don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you don't even have the life of God in you. It was a hard saying. There come a time that we got to quit hiding behind trying to be politically correct with the message people. Trying to be politically correct with the world. They don't understand us anyway. They don't understand God anyway. God is simple. God's easy to find. God's easy to understand. You can't hear God today. And there come a time that the bride hid behind signs and wonders. Come a time when he tried to talk nice and tried to. And Brother Branham did the same thing. And in his ministry, he was hiding behind that first and second pool. But there come a time that he said, I got to give all my time to the ministry. I don't have time to wait on either thing. I don't have time to wait on the church people. I don't have time to wait on y'all. I got to get this message out. And I got to do this. I got to give all my time to the word. And he got tired of trying to babysit everybody. And he finally got to the place and says, he would get in that prayer line, and he'd get so anointed, and he'd say, do you believe I'm God's prophet? He said, oh, I'm sorry. He's like, he shouldn't have said that. But he'd get so anointed that he would tell the truth, even though the people didn't want to hear it. And a lot of times we'll hide behind around things. See, because people are scared if you say that you're God. So you don't want to tell them that. You want to go around it a little bit. The Spirit of God is here. God's anointing is here. God's here, but we won't say where. We don't say where because we scare people. If you really knew where God is and you told where God is, it chased most people off. And I ain't talking about some supernatural spiritualism. I'm standing up here and I'm going to discern you. I got an anointing. I ain't worried about your anointing. Listen to the words that's coming out of my mouth. If it ties back to the scripture, that's God.
Amen.
It's not hid from us. We're not sitting here trying to figure this out, trying to figure out where God is. I know where God is. I clearly know where God is. I see God. I hear God. I can feel God. I know where God is.
Amen.
And here's where the devil says, he's trying to point you to himself.
make himself somebody. You stupid, ignorant devil. I'm trying to make all of us somebody. See, if I was just a man trying to get you to serve me, I would say I got it and you don't get it. You just have to serve me. That's man. But for me to stand here saying I'm the Word of God and you're the Word of God, that we all have God, that is God in the entire service from the beginning to the end, the congregation, the songs, the testimonies, all that's God. Then the preacher gets up, all that's God. Amen. The last song of the service, all that's God. Amen. Then I ain't pulling you to myself, that's pulling you to God. Amen. I'm pointing you to Jesus Christ. Right. I'm letting you know it's the Word made flesh. Right. I'm saying that you can't get God outside of seeing him in somebody else.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. That's how simple it is.
Yeah.
It's not hard to see God.
Right.
It's not hard to hear from God. Oh, I hear God right now.
Yeah.
He's an audible voice.
Yeah.
He's a physical being.
Yeah.
He's here.
Yeah.
He's dwelling in the midst of his people. How's that?
Yes.
He's right in the midst of his people. Lip to ear. How can you hear from God lip to ear unless he's in somebody's lip and he's in somebody's ear? Simple. We make getting hold of God so hard, and this should be the easiest time it's ever been to get a hold of God.
Yes,
you shouldn't have to wonder about anything. Oh, Brother Childers. See, I always went to Brother Childers when I had life questions. And it wasn't that I didn't have the Holy Ghost myself, but I wanted blessed assurance.
Right.
You know, when you buy your house, it's your house, but if you get blessed assurance on it,
A
word from God, if you get something on it, then if something does happen, you can fall back on your policy.
Yeah.
That's what insurance is about.
Yeah.
And oh, I knew I could have told you, Clarice was she was great. She'd be a great wife for me. I could have said that.
Yeah.
But you know what? I could say it, and then the devil could play with my head in about 3 or 4 years when she threw that dish at me.
Uh-huh.
And when I got mad at her and she got at me, and I didn't have no insurance policy, then I was like, what am I going to do? When our house caught on fire and the house and bathroom burnt up, I had an insurance adjuster come and he put a little desk, a portable desk in my living room, right in the middle of the room. So boom, he said, Nate, I am your insurance adjuster. I will be here until we make you 100% whole. That's a good policy. So I went to Brother Childers, not because I didn't have God or didn't know God myself, but I want a little blessed assurance. I want an insurance on my marriage.
Yeah, sure.
I want something that's going to hold and pay all the debts. When I used that policy on my house, they took everything in the building out. Cleaned it, washed it, boxed it, stacked it, labeled it, put it in storage, took care of the whole painting of the entire house, put carpet in some of the rooms. I think I can't remember all the guys. I don't even remember all they did. It was such a policy. They said, sir, we want to take all of your suits that's in your closet. And you know, I got a lot of suits. Said, we want to take and dry clean every bit of it. I was nervous. I said, oh, no, don't worry about that. I like the closet door is closed. They're fine. That policy covered so much that I didn't want them to do all that the policy wanted to do. So when I went to Brother Childers, I said, Brother Childers, I got a ring for Clarice. Y'all heard this story. If you don't want to hear it, plug your ears. I tell you this because it's a good example.
Amen.
I said, Brother Childers, me and John went and bought the rings.
Well before.
Huh?
Well before.
Well before.
Right.
And I had the rings. John knew I had them. I knew I had them. Nobody else knew I had them. And I went down the valley, called Brother Childers one day by himself. See, I believe in the Word made flesh.
Amen.
I believe that if you approach God right, he will give you the answer that you need.
Amen.
I said, Brother Childers, Clarice and I have been dating. I'm thinking about asking her to marry me. But whatever you say. Now, do you know the load that put on Brother Childers? I said, I've got a ring already, but if you say that I shouldn't do it, she'll never know it even exists. That's putting your money where your mouth is. That was an answer that was going to change the trajectory of my entire life. But I believe in a simple God. I believe you don't have to spend 3-4 weeks trying to figure out, oh God, talk to me, oh God, talk to me, talk to me, oh God, talk to me. God's real simple to get a hold of. Amen. Whatever you say, whatever you say, I can get my money back. I got the receipt. Yeah. All $50 or whatever it was. It wasn't much. It wasn't much. Huh? About a couple hundred dollars. And that's both rings. Well, all three. That's all three. Because that's an engagement, a wedding. Oh, that's right. I should. No, I bought, just so y'all know. So I don't want to get mad. Just so y'all know, I did buy her carat diamond later. Thanks, Don. Matter of fact, I bought her a carat diamond, and she lost a diamond. Who knew that? Let me tell you guys something. I'm warning y'all, because I didn't know this. Do you realize those diamonds? It was a carat. It was like this and a big old diamond on. I got it. I was really proud. Warning. Get insurance. Blessed assurance. I didn't get it. I didn't know that that diamond really was just held on by little four little prongs. That diamond went somewhere. Carat. Somebody was happy. So get insurance, guys, if you're going to do that. Ever since then, I just bought her clusters. Because that's embedded. See, I learned over the years. That's embedded in the metal, so it's not going anywhere. I think she's got it on now. I think that's about a carat worth of clusters or something like that. Now, that was more expensive than my wedding ring, Don, so I did make up for that. Amen. That $1.99 ring. But I trusted God. Right. Yeah. I wasn't trusting my judgment. I wasn't trusting my feelings. Because you can make decisions by your feelings and they'd be wrong.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You're right.
But he said, Clarice will make you a good wife. Good wife. Go ahead and marry her. She'll make you a good wife. And so, was that Earl Childers saying that? God said that. But it's too simple. It's too simple. It's too easy to get that. It's too, number one, it wasn't even about Brother Childers. It was my faith in God. Not my faith in Brother Childers. I just knew that God was in there. So it was my faith in God that says, God, whatever you say. And because I believed God. I stepped out on that. And now Brother Childers isn't even here. And we're still together. And when she gets mad at me. And when I get mad at her. I've got an insurance policy. God said. That's how simple that is. It takes all the air out of Satan's fight. It takes all the wind out of his sails. He can't break us up because God said. But then what if we do break up? Let's just say I go home and the biscuits are burnt. And that was the straw. That's the straw. Because that's what happens in our life. We get to the point where we get to the straw. And Clary storms out. And I say, go. Don't come back. Never loved you anyway. You know how we do. We want to just, as Brother Chill says, turn the knife. Just twist it in there. Never loved you anyway. She goes her way. I go my way. Now, because I'm a believer, I'm not going to look at my life and say, I've wasted 37 years. Mm-mm. God, you have been good to me for 37 years. God, you blessed me with a wife for 37 years. God, you blessed me with three children, beautiful children, in 37 years. God, you give me home. God, see, we forget the good.
Yeah.
When something bad happens, we forget all about all God's blessings.
Yeah.
And all we focus on is the current issue and the current situation.
You're right.
God's kept you 30 years, and you mad about the last one.
Yeah.
Come on. You're right.
Yeah.
Preach.
Yeah.
Amen.
I'd much rather spend my time talking about the 30 good.
Yeah.
Than the one bad.
Right. Yeah.
I'd rather talk about, see, I can't lose.
No.
That's what I said about my salvation.
Right.
Because the devil's always trying to knock you off. You know, I've been in this message, 40-something years? I don't know. And the devil's always trying to knock you off. But if he got me today, if he could get me knocked off today, I'm not going to worry about that. I'm going to say, God, it's been a good run.
Yeah.
I've had 40 years that the devil could not touch.
That's right.
People might look at me now and say, I don't love God, but God, you know I loved you.
Yeah.
You know you've been the center of my joy.
Amen.
You know you've been my life.
Right.
And the devil cannot take away those 40 years.
Amen.
That's how simple this thing is.
Right.
We just don't know how to have faith in it. We want to be able to tack it all down. I know it's God. You'll never know it's God till it's over. You never know it's God till it's history.
Yeah.
You don't know it while it's going on. Because you're doing that by faith. I can look back and say the 37 years was God.
Yeah.
Now, 37 years ago, I couldn't tell you that.
That's right.
I was living by faith.
There you go.
Like, Lord, you said. Lord, you said. Lord, you said. Here we go again. We're fighting again. Lord, you said. I was living by faith. And you got to live by faith. Don't waste time. Don't waste time trying to educate yourself to God's revelation.
Right.
Can't do it. Won't happen. You say, but I got a better way. You don't have a better way. God's way is the way.
Amen.
The truth and the life.
Right.
And it's not hard to know what God's leadership is. It's not, if it matches the word of God, step out on it.
Amen.
You say, what if I make a mistake? Then step out on the next one.
Yeah.
What if I make two mistakes and step out on the next one? I say if I pray for somebody and they die, I'm going to pray for the next one. I'm not going to stop praying.
Right.
I'm moving and living by faith.
Right.
We're living by faith. It's the simplicity of serving God. It doesn't have to be difficult. It doesn't have to be hard. You don't have to struggle. You are wasting time.
Amen.
Amen.
Should I testify or not? Should I testify or not? Just ask yourself, what does the word say? Quit wasting your time battling the devil. Jesus said it is written. And that's what you need to do. It is written. It's not that hard to testify. I'm sorry. Only reason you're battling it is because you're not living by faith. You're sitting there saying, oh, I got to figure this out. I got to make sure this is God. No. You know what? I come up here with my notes and stuff. I don't even worry about it. If I get to it, I get to it. If I don't, I don't.
Right.
I ain't got off the first scripture. If I sit all day, oh, is it God or not? No, I just do this by faith.
Amen.
I know that God's going to meet me here.
Amen.
I know that God's going to speak to me.
Amen.
I know that God's going to deal with us here today.
Yeah.
That's all I've got.
Right.
And I got the word that promises that. He said, where two and three are gathered, I'll be there.
Right.
He said that.
Sometimes we make a promise and we don't follow through. But if he said where two and three are gathered, I'll be there in your midst, then I'm looking for him.
Amen.
That's the rest is up in him.
Yeah.
I don't have to worry about, oh, is it God or not? No, I'm just going to step out. Get up.
Amen.
Just get up. You say, well, I don't know what I'm going to say. I don't know what I'm going to say. I never know what I'm going to say when I get up here. I don't do this by the... Don and I was talking about the New Year's, and when God spoke out to our congregation, said, this is a year of water coming in and out. It's a turning point, and we've got to move forward. God said, that wasn't me. I didn't sit at home and say, you know, today I think this New Year's service, we're going to just move forward and we're going to just go and just do what? That wasn't me. I heard it when you heard it.
Right.
I didn't know what it meant just as much as you didn't know what it meant.
Right.
But that was done by faith.
Right.
Now, standing in September the 4th, is that where we're at? Looking back to January, you don't even need a new birth to see it. You don't need faith to hear that. All you got to do is look back at the record of where God's been. That's why I say always look in your wake. See where you've been. Look at what God said in January. And look where we are now here. And y'all don't know this happens all the time here. Dwayne, he's my history man. He always tells me. But I remember before the church split, back when Parnellan was here, before the church split, I got up and I said, and I don't remember when exactly, Dwayne, if he was here, he can tell you the date. But I said, by this certain date, if you don't have my mind, you won't be here. That was the year of the split. And we'd have forgot all of this. But Dwayne come later and told me, he said, that split happened the very day that you said it was going to happen. And I didn't even say split. I said, if you don't have my mind, and I don't remember what date it was, but there was a very notable date.
Yeah.
I said, I don't remember that kind of stuff. It happens all the time, so I don't pay no attention. And Dwayne told me it was the very next day that they split. God up here talking. God talking.
Yeah. Right.
And Michelle was worried about Jay.
Yeah.
Because they had deployed his unit to go to Yubeka, whoever stand. They had deployed his entire unit. And Michelle was concerned about it.
Yeah.
And I was preaching. And I said, you don't even know if he's going. He might end up in Kansas.
Yeah.
When I got to the parking lot, after the service was over, Dwayne caught me. He said, do you know what you said? I said, what? He said, you said Jay could end up in Kansas. I said, no, I didn't. He backed the tape up and let me hear it. Where did your troops go?
They went to Mexico.
Where did you go?
Kansas.
This happens. I'm telling you, this happens here all the time, people.
Amen.
But it's so simple. God is so simple in his display that you overlook it and think I'm just up here doing this. I am not doing this, people.
Right.
Went to the hospital. Visit Jay. Walking on pins and needles. Because I knew Jay believed God. I said, I don't want to say anything that's going to just, because they didn't know what was wrong with him. They didn't know whether he was going to live. His liver was acting up. His eyes were bright yellow and he was in the hospital. They had him at Miami Valley. Didn't know what was wrong with him. I mean, see, I'm telling you things that's happening in your midst, not out here. What's going on here? Didn't know what was wrong with him. Eyes yellow. I went there to get a haircut. He was in the hospital, and he said, well, I they don't know what's wrong with me, but I'm here, so I got my clippers, so come on and get your haircut. So I went down and get my haircut. And I told myself, I said, don't say nothing, because I know things slip out. I don't try, things slip out. I said, don't say nothing, because he's crazy enough to believe it. And then I was walking on pins and needles. And I got in there, and I did good the whole time. Him and Courtney were in there, and I did really well the whole time. We talked, chatted, laughed, did everything. I got ready to leave. And I turned to Jay and I said, Jay, give them a few days. They won't know what's going on with you, but they're going to let you out of here and you'll go home. And I walked there out of there mad at myself. Now, I don't know what happened inside that door when I closed it and I went out. Now, I know I left Jay and Courtney in there together. They start getting ready to go home. But I was mad at myself because I was like, I was trying my best not to say nothing, and it came out anyway. And what happened to that, Jay?
They couldn't give me any medication because my liver couldn't process any medicine. So I had to just sit there. The only thing they gave me was water. It was a clear liquid diet for 3 days. Cleared up by itself, and they let me go. They were about to transfer me to Mayo Clinic in Cleveland because they couldn't find out what was wrong. We go from that to just drinking water for 3 days.
Send him home. But see, God, still to this day, they don't know what happened. God in simplicity. And I mean, I'm not just talking about me. He's in you. This is happening in you. You just don't hardly pick it up because you're not sensitive and not paying attention to it. But it happens in your everyday life because the word is on the scene. It's not just me saying, oh, you're pointing yourself. No, things happen to me. I don't even tell people because people just don't need to know. But no, it happens in your life. But you just, because we're so used to being educated and smart, we're not sensitive to God's leadership, and He's leading you and doing things in your life, and you don't even pay any attention. But if you're a little bit more sensitive, you'll realize that it's the Word of God behind your skin doing the very same thing. If you think about what's going on in your life, you'll see that it's God's moving. God talks through you. In a very simple way. People want to get a hold of God, and they think you got to go and put a bunch of smoke up and all cry and scream and like, you know, like they did over there with Elijah. He said, maybe your God's asleep. Maybe he's hard of hearing. Maybe you can't hear. No, God's easy. He can whisper, and you can pick it. I mean, I'm telling you, it's so clear. God can whisper, and you can pick him up. He can walk around, and you can see him. You know, Moses, they saw, who's that saw the backside of a man? They just were trying to find God. Hard to see God. Didn't know him. When Jesus came on the scene, they did not recognize him. But here it was, God in skin, walking amongst them. And the day of the Son of Man has repeated itself in this day. And it's so simple that everybody looks over it. God right amongst you. Why are you doubting? Why are you wondering? Why are you trying to figure it out yourself when God is on the scene and can give you your answers right today?
Amen.
You don't have to go home and wonder if.
Nope.
You don't have to go home and ask yourself, well, is that God? Or if it's not, well, if it's not. No, God goes home with you. He's in you. And the Word of God is in you, giving you all the answers that you need. You don't have to do like they did down through the ages.
No.
God is real and He's here right now.
Amen.
Thank you, you hit it from the wise and the prudent, the smart alecks, the educated, the people who think they know better, think they're so smart, they're going to figure this out. You're not going to figure this out. I don't care how many years you hold off. When it's all said and done, whether it's today or 5 years from today, when it's all said and done, if you are of God, you're going to say, you know what? That was God 5 years ago.
Amen.
Talking to me 5 years ago. It took me 5 years to die to my thinking. Why? That's like when you have a problem. When you fail God and you backslide or side slide or whatever you do, and you're out there, it's up to you how long you want to grope.
Right.
It's up to you. It's not God putting you. God's not putting you through this. God loves you. Remember, He took your sins on Himself. He paid the price. He loves you. And you can sit there and mope about what you did for 3 weeks. But on that third week, you're going to do what you could have done on the first week. Get up and go forward like David did. Sin before God. Got Bathsheba pregnant. Baby got sick. He laid before the Lord. He cried about his sins. He was lamenting about his problems. Baby died. He got up, washed his hands, and went to the house of God. Well, let's go into the house of God. Might as well serve God and praise Him. We come in here sometime, hadn't done right at home. You know you had. I just thought I'd pause for effect. Now, it's very pause and give y'all a chance to say amen. You ain't done right at home. Then you come to church and you're sitting here and your spouse sitting next to you. She know what you told her before you got here. And she is rolling her eyes at you. And you know you weren't right. And you'll sit there and you'll just sit there and you'll just sit there. When in fact, all you got to do is say, I'm sorry, I was wrong. Get it over with. Get past it. Get to the house of God and serve God. That's how simple it is. God is so simply touched in this hour. Easily touched. You can get a hold of him easily. Easily. I mean, Alex, good to see you. He sat at home forever. But you know who that was on? He knows it. He could have been here months ago. But that's okay. He's here.
Right.
Glad to see him.
Amen.
Glad to have him here. But you know what? We do that to ourselves.
Right.
We beat ourselves up. We knock ourselves around. Oh, no, 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 good enough. Brother Moore said last week my house is dirty. And you'll mope and you'll mope and you'll lay around and mope. And you know what? You're not getting nowhere. You're not doing nothing. You're not making any progress. Just get up and shake it off. You know, when did you start smoking today? That's what that brother said. Brother Branham discerning. He went out on a hunting trip with this young man, and he was a smoker. But he'd always eat mints and he'd keep it from the prophet. Brother Branham discerned it. And he looked at the brother and said, when'd you stop smoking? And the brother said that he knew, number one, he was discerned.
Yeah.
Number two, he couldn't lie to the prophet. And number three, he knew he was supposed to lay that down.
Right.
So he said, today. That's how easy it is.
Yeah.
When did you give up? Today. When'd you lay that down? Today. When did you finally decide to listen to God? Today. You don't have to go home today and kick yourself saying, oh, I shoulda, I woulda. No, today is a day of salvation. Today is a day. This is a day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. You don't have to wonder, oh, God, I owe you about 3 weeks of not testifying. I would just black the devil's eyeball. Him coming in and say, oh, you can't testify. I say, yeah. Oh, yeah, Satan, you're right. I can't testify. Let me testify.
Gotcha.
And you know what he's going to be? He's going to stand right there next to him. You know what you did. You know you shouldn't be saying. You know the word said. That word is nigh thee, even in my mouth. So I need to open it up, and I need to let you know it is written, Satan, I'm an overcomer.
Right. Amen.
Shove it back in his face. God in simplicity. He hid it from the wise. All the educated, the smart ones, the ones that think they know how to do this. When you feel like you're driving, you're dumb. When you think like you're in control of your life, you're stupid. When you think like, I got to make a decision. You don't have a decision. You have the word. You simply receive what the word says. And then you take your best shot. Take your best step, and you say, what if it's wrong? It's right, even if it's wrong. Because he'll make all wrongs right.
Yes.
It still works for your good.
Yes.
You say, you don't understand how miserable my last year's been. It might have been, but how blessed were you for the last 20 years? A lot of times we live in fear. Fear's torment. We hide behind it. Well, I'm scared. I'm scared. What are you scared of? Perfect love casts out all fears.
Yeah.
Well, I might be single all my life. That's not a problem. Thank God. Paul said, I wish you were like me. You know why? You can move. You can go. You can go faster. Every time I go somewhere, I got to take Clarice. And it's like, she walks slower than I do. I got big, long strides. I'm like, I get somewhere and get it done. And Clarice is like... So it takes longer when you got a mate.
It's a bigger load. You can't just sign up on the board saying, I'm going to South Carolina. Your wife, your kids. You got to figure out what to do with the dog and who's going to feed the fish. So if you like Skyler, he puts his name on the door, on the board, locks his door, and gone. But you got to learn to trust God. Learn to lean on God. See, he wants you to lean on him. He wants you to depend on him. He wants you to have faith in him. He wants you to step out on the word. He wants you to understand what's happening when the preacher's up here. That ain't the preacher. It's God talking.
Amen.
You say, but I got to make sure it's God. Go ahead and make sure. I want you to be very sure. Hid it from the wise and revealed it unto babes. I was thinking about babes. You know how babies are. They just learn. They trust and learn. You tell them this and they believe it. You tell them the moon is made of cheese. They believe it. You tell them there's a man in the moon, see those eyes, nose, mouth. They believe it. He said, well, what if I believe something that's false? Come on. If God is in you, you will hear his voice. And you'll step out on it. At least you should. You should be like a babe. Now, if you're still wondering if I'm of God or not, then yeah, don't be a babe. Just keep on watching. Keep on coming. Keep on listening. And eventually you'll either find out I'm God, or I'm the devil. And either way, you're still good. Because if I'm God, you can get with it. And if I'm the devil, you can leave. We're not a cult. We don't have the doors chained shut and you've got to stay here. You can get up and leave in the middle of my service. You know, if it's that hot and that bad, just go. I don't blame you. But if this is God, then you need to give in 100%, not just partially give in, but be like a babe. Just believe. Just believe. And what are you believing? You believe in the words. You're not believing me. Oh, don't believe me. I'll mess you up. I'll wreck your wagon. And not me. Believe the word. Jesus told him, said, if you don't believe me, believe the words that I'm speaking. For the word's sake. Don't just take it and say, oh, well, we just believe everything. No, we believe the word. If you think this is God speaking to you today, then just receive it. That's how simple it is. It's not hard. You don't have to sit here with your eyebrows all twisted up and listening real hard and trying to figure out if it's God or not. No. If what I'm saying is matching the word, it's God. That's how simple it is. And the educated and the smart and the wise, they can't get with this. They can't pick this up. They can't. It's too simple. It's too simple. Well, don't you have to do? No. Don't you have to bring? No. Don't you have to live a life? No. You get God in you, and God will make of you what he wants. We spend too much time trying to make ourselves like somebody else. I need to dress like Don. I need to hunt like Don, and I need to do the things Don does, woodworking. I need to do that, and I need to, and what we do is make ourselves a disciple of Don instead of a disciple of Christ. And what we need is disciples of Christ.
Amen.
The word that you receive is the word that Don receives, is the word that Jay receives, is the word that Mel receives, is the word that Clarice receives. It's the same word. So it will produce some of the same works, but not all, because your works are built by your makeup as well. God has, look at Peter. Peter was a fiery preacher, quick on the trigger, had lots of problems, just short-tempered. But God had to use him in that sense. But Peter wasn't like John, the beloved, laying all up on Jesus.
Peter probably on the other end of the room throwing carrots. Get off of him. But God used their makeup in their ministry. So God's not trying to make disciples of each other. God's trying to make a disciple of his word. He wants you to simply have faith and believe in his word. That's all he wants. If God tells you to stop something, stop it. If God tells you to start something, start it. If God tells you to go this way, go.
Amen.
You're not going to tell everybody. We ain't all wearing the same clothes today. This church that all the they only allowed to wear three colors, gray, green, and black, and brown, four. Excuse me. The whole church. That's the only colors they wore. Dressed down to their feet, and those four colors, that's all they were allowed to wear. They were really holiness people. Good people. But they made mass-produced Christians. I want God to use you as God wants to use you. That's how simple that is.
That's right.
I don't have to follow you home. I don't have to do this and do that to make sure you're saved, to make sure you're right. You're going to be what God has ordained for you to be. That's what I want out of you. You may not carve a duck like Donnie. But you don't have to.
Right.
That's a gift that God's given him. You do what God has ordained you to do. That's how simple this is. And people want to make it hard. They want to make you disciples and make you disciples of men instead of disciples of God. I don't want you to be like me. Couldn't have a service or two of me in it. We'd be fighting each other, trying to take over. God is known by simplicity. God is God in simplicity. God manifested himself in simplicity. He makes himself simple. It's so that the wise would not understand. Jesus said, I thank thee, Father, that thou art hid from the wise and the prudent and would reveal to the babe such as would learn. Don't never try to educate yourself to God.
Amen.
Did y'all hear me?
Amen.
Don't never try to educate yourself to God. When you do, you educate yourself away from God. When you come here and you're trying to get so smart, and you're trying to know so much, that's the wrong direction. Because all you will get is become a self-righteous fool sitting amongst the believers and don't know anything that you ought to know. God is not known by education. God is known by faith. And the first stroke that the devil took was on the education program. And man lost his fellowship with God. That's exactly. He must know God by faith, not what he can explain, but what he believes. What he believes that he can't explain. That we are just vice versa the picture. People think that you come here and you get enough education that you can explain this whole message. That ain't what it's about. Makes me sick when I see somebody trying to educate themselves. God's not known by his education. It doesn't impress me if you can quote the seven thunders and the seven seals and you know the seven church ages backwards. It doesn't mean nothing to me. I am not impressed by that. I'm impressed by somebody who says, I don't know what this is, but I know it's right. I can't explain what I'm hearing preaching. When I hear it preached, I can't explain it back. I can't say it back to you like you said it to me, but I do know one thing. It's right. That's what I'm looking for. I'm not looking for you to walk the seven seas. I'm not looking for you to try to do some miracle. I'm not trying to get you to become some doctor of divinity under the message. I'm not going to get you to read the 1,000 books. I'm not trying to get you to quote the Bible from Genesis to Revelation and Revelation back to Genesis. I'm not even caring about any of that. I'm trying to find somebody that can hear this word and recognize that it's God and say, I believe it.
Yes.
We get all concerned because we can't explain it. God didn't say, can you explain it? He said, can you believe it?
Right, man.
It's not your job to explain it. It's my job to explain it. It's Jay's job to explain it. Jeremiah's job to explain it.
deacons are apt to teach, so they might explain something. Jim, I don't know. You might know something. But I don't care whether y'all ever figure out the thunders and the seals. When these high-collar preachers come in here and try to say, you got to see the seventh seal, and you got to know it this way, and you got to quote it this way, and you got to know all this, that's a bunch of junk.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. I can call it the seals. I can call it the thunders. I can call it Jesus. I can call it Melchizedek.
Yeah.
I can call it the Rose of Sharon. I can call it Jehovah Jireh.
Yeah.
I can call it the third pool.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Right.
It's not by your education.
No.
It ain't going to take 3 nights for me to explain to you the seventh seal.
No. That sounds like a mystery to me.
That's a mystery. Matter of fact, you can't explain the seventh seal. Brother Branham, our prophet, couldn't even explain the seventh seal. He said the angel told him, you will not be able to explain that.
Amen.
And when you think you're so smart of an educated preacher that you're going to explain the seventh seal, you're just fooling yourself. Seven seal is something you explain. Seven seal is something you experience.
Yeah.
Amen.
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 I wasn't born yesterday.
I
know what this thing is.
Amen.
But that's my job.
Right.
That's my job to let you know it's simple.
Amen.
When these preachers make it hard, I like to go the other way. They make it hard, I make it simpler. I'll get back to Jesus died on the cross.
All right.
I've done it before.
Amen.
When they get so educated, so smart, they want to make it all this stuff, I go the opposite direction.
Yeah.
Because I know I can make it so simple to say, if you don't see me, you don't see God.
Yeah.
That's how simple I can get.
Yeah.
I can get so simple to say, you don't even have the Holy Ghost if you don't know who I am.
Oh.
I can get so simple to make you feel like you don't even know what you're doing.
Amen.
When you get it educated, I'll go simple.
Amen.
I think Michelle Obama said, you go high, I'll go low.
Yeah.
When you try to make this thing so much, so big, so mysterious, and it takes you 3 days to explain it to me, that's 2 days and 23 hours and 45 minutes too long.
Yeah.
I can explain the seventh seal like that.
Amen.
And make it so simple. That even the children talk about in Sunday school. I don't need your doctor of divinity. I don't need your education. I don't need you to tell me what it is. I know what it is.
Amen.
Amen.
And I don't have to say the seventh seal in a certain way to be born again.
No, sir.
Seventh seal is Christ, the Word.
Yes.
Amen.
So simple.
Yeah.
It's so simple that the educated teacher can't get that. God in simplicity. Hid from the wise and prudent and revealed to me.
Yeah.
Somebody would just say it's right. Somebody say, I believe it.
Yeah.
I believe it. Can you explain it? No. Do you know all the words? No. I ask Brother Children when I come here because I come here to a bunch of doctors of divinity.
Right.
All the young men were walking around with Brother Branham's quote books and they had their Bible and they were just quoting Brother Branham and they were just so smart. And they just knew so much, and the preachers get up with a stack of books like that, and they threw through every book when they got to preaching. They'd read and quote, read, quote, read, quote, read, quote. They did all that. And I sat here and I asked Brother Childers one day, I said, Brother Childers, do I have to know all this? He looked at me and said, nah. That's all I needed. That's all I needed. That's why Brother Childers said, if those books confuse you, put them down and listen to me.
Amen.
Why? Because the goal is to find the Word made flesh anyway.
Right.
Oh, you can read those books. You can read the Bible. But the bottom line is God wants you to see human skin.
Yeah.
We're not pointing you to the Bible. We're not pointing you to William Branham. We're pointing you to the Word made flesh.
Amen.
If I don't make the Word made flesh right now, live and well in front of you, I missed it.
That's right.
Amen.
So I'm not trying to educate you into this.
Nope.
Those blind leaders, they try to educate you into this thing, try to make you feel like you got to have something, got to have this, got to have that, got to pray, got to fast, got to be just some spiritual warrior. No, you don't have to be a spiritual warrior. Peter wasn't no spiritual warrior.
No.
Jesus prayed and Peter went to sleep.
That's right.
Your prayer closet don't make a bit of difference to the Word of God. You say, well, you got to fast, you got to pray, you got to... Oh, they make me tired. Because it's so much simpler than that. It's so much simpler. It's so simple that a food won't air. You can't. You can pick this up. Our kids know more than some of these doctor divinities in this message. Right. So there in John in Matthew 15, it says, then the disciples came and said, no, I'll just read this whole thing. I'm just trying to cut corners. I ain't going to do it. I'm missing. And he called, verse 10, and he called the multitude and said to them, hear and understand. Not that which goes into the mouth defiles a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth defiles a man. Some people need to read this. They need to. Don't be so quick to tell me what you know. You know, there's no dumb questions on Sunday night. There aren't. I'll take any question you got. But sometimes I know some of the questions are just education. I know. I can feel it. I can hear it. I can hear it in your voice. You know, but it's coming out of you. And I'd rather it come out of you because I can fix it. I don't want you to keep your educated stuff in your head. I want you to bring it out. Let's talk about it. But when you finish, I'm going to bring you God in simplicity. It's not going to be some big old deep revelation, some big thing that nobody sees. No, it's going to be simple. It's going to be Christ. It's going to be God. It's going to be ear and skin. The then saying the disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended? People get offended when the word comes forth. They wouldn't like what I'm saying today. But I don't care. This ain't my career. I don't make a living. Y'all don't make a living to keep me up. Brother Chills fixed that. He said, we're buying these houses down the street so that if they stop paying tithes, y'all quit supporting me, I can still preach the truth. Whether you stomp out of here, whether you come or go, I can still preach the truth. They get offended at the word. People get offended all the time. That's why I don't lean on y'all. Y'all get mad in a minute. People are so funny. They're fickle. They're like a politician until he does something. Then all of a sudden, I can't stand him. It's like, but I thought you just said you voted for him. Or they'll do something you don't like, and then all of a sudden, they're all against you. Or you do something, you have a problem in the church. You know what Brother Childers always said? He said, people love you until they find out about you. Yeah. Y'all love each other till you hear the gossip about each other. And then it's something you don't like. Then all of a sudden, I thought they were saved. Oh, they were saved last week. That's why I don't trust none of y'all. I don't lean on y'all. Because Brother Childers learned that the hard way. His best friend stabbed him in the back. Brother Childers said, I'll never get that close to anybody again. I learned a lesson. I don't get close. I got some good friends here, and we're close. But I ain't so close to none of y'all that I won't tell you the truth. You ask some of them that are close to me. I'll tell them in a minute. I don't play around when it comes to the Word of God. I'd rather lose you than lose the Word. I had the Word before I had you. But they got mad at him. Jesus was telling them the truth. They got mad. Disciples came and acted like he didn't know. They said, hey, those Pharisees are a little upset over there. You need to... Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying. But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. See, Jesus wasn't playing. He knew it was time to put the word out there. If you're not a part of me, you're going to be rooted up. Same thing here. If you're not a part of me, you're going to be rooted up. You know what I saw the other day? Remember I told y'all that story about the grasshopper that was on my windshield and it was hanging onto the glass and the wind's blowing, and I guess faster I got on the highway and I said, it only lasts so long. And after a while, poof, he disappeared. I don't know where he woke up, but he probably thought, this ain't my neighborhood. Well, the other day, I got in my car. I don't know why this weird stuff happened. I got in my car, a grasshopper got on the hood. And I'm like, okay, here we go. And I forget where I was going. I think I was going to my other office. So I got my car and I put it in drive, and he's hanging onto the hood. I thought, all right. And I sped up. And that grasshopper just stayed. He stayed all the way to the end till I got to my destination. And I pulled in. I said, there you go, buddy. You can have, you know. It's like, You got to hang on.
Yeah.
And some are ordained to hang on, or some are not. Which grasshopper are you? That one actually went. I was really surprised it made it, because I was sort of thinking it was going to go away, but then I started rooting for it. I was like, hang on, buddy. Hang on. We're almost there. I think God's that way with us sometimes. Just hang in there, church. you'll faint not. You reap if you faint not. And he did. He got out. I was so proud of him when I pulled in. I parked that car, and I felt like I was one of my kids. I'm like, look at him. I thought I'd share that with you, because all grasshoppers don't get blown off the windshield. It depends on who you are.
All right.
Amen. But God said, He said, every plant which the Father has not planted shall be rooted up. If you are not ordained to go all the way somewhere on the line, you're going to get offended and you're going to get rooted up.
Amen.
You'll try to get smart. You'll try to educate. And see, that's what gets you in trouble. When you think you're smarter than the pastor. I had a brother tell me, oh, I wish my pastor had gotten it first, but he didn't get it first. I thought, that doesn't even match the word. How are you going to get it first when the watchman is on the wall? What are you doing up on the wall?
Amen.
Oh, I wish the pastor, he's lying through his teeth. He didn't wish the pastor got it first. He was glad that he thought he had something that the pastor didn't have. You know what? Don't y'all ever think you ever gonna get anything that I don't have.
Amen.
You'll never get higher than your pastor. That's the prophet's words.
Yeah.
So when you tell me you have something the pastor didn't have, I know something's wrong with you.
Amen.
If I ever cut anybody off, it's gonna be somebody that got that kind of spirit. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. Smart, educated teachers. They know it all. You can't help them. Don't even waste your time trying to help them. I don't waste my time. I let them talk their way right out of the door. I let them talk, because you know what? You will talk your way out of the door. And I'll let you talk, and I'll let you talk, and I'll let you talk, and you'll cross yourself with what you're saying. That's like Brother Childers did with Brother Bartley. Brother Bartley was not happy with the church, and he went and said, Brother Childers, we need to talk. So he took him in the back room, and then Brother Bartley said, Brother Childers, I see Ichabod written over the door. And Brother Childers said, that's awful funny. I come to this church, and I don't believe Ichabod is over the door. I see God. He said, but I don't understand why you're here. If Ichabod is written over the door, you shouldn't be here. That was Brother Bartley's last day. Talked himself right out. You tell me you don't see God in me, that's fine. Go find him. I'm not even mad about it. But here they are, blind leaders of the blind, and they all gonna fall in the ditch. The teacher and his followers. The preacher and their followers. If they're not simply following God, and it's God in simplicity, if they're not following God, they will fall off along the way. And I don't have to make them. They'll do it automatically. They won't like something about God. I don't like the way he talks. I don't like his people. I don't like what he says. I don't understand. He doesn't pray enough. He doesn't fast enough. He doesn't do enough spiritual things. No, I don't. I'd be the first to tell you, I don't. I'm simply God. How can you get any closer to God than being God? Oh, you can get more anointed. You can get more spiritual, but either God's there or he's not. It's simply God. Like I said, I look at my hand. God's driving to work. God's driving a car. God's going to the grocery. God's doing these things. God is enjoying life. You say, well, I'm miserable. I'm a miserable Christian. Then you need to get saved. Because there's joy in this. There's peace in this. There's happiness in it. And that's all simple stuff. Your house shouldn't be all up and down. Look, one day we're on top of the world. We're serving God. Next day, oh, we're just no good. Oh, we're good people. No. Level that house out. Level that spouse out. He's gone until he says something you don't want to hear. Come tell me, yeah, I listen to my husband today. But you need to listen to him every day.
Right.
Not just when it's something you want to hear.
Right.
When he tells you something you don't want to hear, what proves who you are is that you'll follow and listen to that then.
Amen.
Oh, it's easy if I say, more, Clarice. Oh, like, I want to have some ice cream. Oh, she's right with me. Yes! We're going to have ice cream. I love my husband. Hallelujah. He's the best thing that ever happened to me. That's God speaking to me. And I said, Clarice, we got to go scrub the floor over that rental property. Oh, well, I had plans. I got stuff to do. That man, he's always...
I got no more.
It's same guy. Same God. You like it when it's something that you want to do. But when it's something you don't want to do, it's not God then. Us like this message this morning. All y'all sitting there, you're hearing it. When it's saying something that when we start off saying God is simplicity, everything is, yeah, hallelujah. Hey, God's speaking here today. But then God start telling you some stuff, you're like, ooh, I don't know about that. I'll have to pray about that. I have to think about that. I might consider that. What happened? Did God leave? It's the same God talking now that was talking when you first was happy at the beginning of service? That's why I don't lean on y'all. Y'all change like the weather. Y'all change in the service. You get happy, you get sad, you get happy, you get sad, you get mad. Hopefully you get happy before the service is over. You won't shake my hand on the way out. You go by the door.
You might as well
put your books in your right hand and grab a bunch of napkins in your left. It looks like you blew your nose, so I don't want to touch that. Then you come out of the door like, oh, I'm so sorry, Pastor. Oh, I'm sorry. God bless you. I know all the tricks. I know how it works. That's all right. God's very simple. Easy to be seen. Easy to be touched. Easy to be felt and dealt with. God is real. He's here, people. He's here. This is what we said we wanted. Now that it's happening, everybody's not so sure they want that kind of God. Oh, you want it on a tape recorder so you can hit stop. Or you can fast forward. Or you can get to the singing at the end. But oh no, not when it's gone and skinned. You can't shut me up. You might be hungry right now. You might want to go to eat a McDonald's, but you got to wait till I finish. Because there's no off on this. God is simple. He's in skin. He's amongst us. He's walking the aisle. He's in our people. And the only way you're going to get God is get God's people.
Amen.
That's where he dwells. They can't hear. They can't see. I'm trying to close here, people. It's like Matthew 16. Jesus' soul and flesh and blood didn't reveal this. I ain't going to read it. Just letting you know it's there. This comes by revelation. When God reveals himself to you, you and he become one. You become God in skin. Our problem is we didn't know it was God in skin. It was God in skin all the way down through the ages. They just didn't know it. That's why Brother Branham called that the Son of God age, because it was an unseen force. They didn't know it was God in them. They thought it was God around them, a part of God. But we kind of find at the opening of the seal, when the Son of Man come on the scene again, that it is really, literally God in us. God is in you. You are no less than God in skin. No less. But because it's so simple, they can't get it. Brother Branham said, and God in simplicity said, you know, God is so great, he hides himself in simplicity. And then reveals himself in the same thing he hides himself in. And God is so great, he can make himself simple. That's what makes him great. So many miss him in that simplicity. Simple ways that he hides himself. Now,
We know that a man can't do this. Man cannot make himself great enough to be simple, see? Now, what makes God so great is because he can be so simple. And God does not reveal himself in greatness as we call greatness. See, I've always, even in my entire ministry, I've always wanted to simplify. Brother Childers was such a deep preacher. I could take one sentence he said and just simplify it to the people. And people could understand. I don't try to take you on a big old missionary trip. I try to break something simple down that you can walk out of here and say, you know what? That's helping me. That's something I can use. God and simply. That's what makes God great, is that he can be so simple. And when they're making it so hard that they can't even hardly understand it, when the messages are so deep that you're sitting there trying to figure out what in the world he's talking about, that ain't God. God's simple. Jesus saves. Repent and be baptized. Never saw any scripture where it was so hard to get that you couldn't get your hands around it. God always made it simple. Jesus came in a simple way. A manger in a stable. You come in a simple way. Look how you were born. Look how you were raised. Look what brought you here. God moving simply in your life. So simple that people miss it. Your family miss it. Your friends miss it. They know something's going on, but they don't understand it because it's not deep enough. It's not enough of a God movement. The church ain't packed. You don't have overflowing crowds. You don't have a stadium full of people. God back here in little Bethlehem, little bitty place where nobody else is coming. God goes where no man goes. The bride is simple. He told us in Revelation, he that has an ear. It was simple. It was all the way. He did it all the way down through the ages. He was trying to let us know, you got to have an ear to hear. If you don't have an ear to hear, you can't pick this up no matter how I fix it. But God always revealed himself in simplicity to the bride. When we hear this revelation, we're like, man, that's simple. I get that. I want to hear from God. God says, just talk to him. I'm here. Man, that's simple. God has a cell phone? Oh, yes. Yeah. God will shake your hand on the way out of the door. Don't miss God. It's too simple. We make it hard. We make salvation hard. We make serving God hard. We're like, oh, I got to serve God today. That's a joy. It's a privilege. You should wake up with a bounce in your step. Say, man, it's another day. This is the day the Lord has made. I can rejoice. I'm going to serve him today. Lord, where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? I told Tina, I said, Tina, y'all are out there. Y'all are touching people's lives. I said, you're on a missionary trip. That's how easy and how simple it is. You don't have to be no doctor, no divinity, no something else. Just God simply moving in your life. Jesus told them that they garnished the tombs and nothing in them but dead man's bone. That's what they've got. But he said, if you just, and this is how simple this is. Matthew chapter 7, ask and it shall be given. It shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Verse 7. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, shall be opened. How much simpler can it get than that? Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I got to get God. He's here. Right. Ask, knock, seek. Not hard, simple. Simply, God is touched by your infirmities. Right. He's touched by your weakness. He's touched by your faith. What did he tell that centurion? No greater faith. Right. Have I seen in all Israel? What did he do? He didn't go out here with his sword and do anything great. No. He didn't do a bunch of big stuff. He just simply said, Lord, you just speak the word and I'll believe it.
Yeah. Right. Amen.
He just believed God, and Jesus is like, that's what I'm after. That's what I want. That's what I want to get these people to. So yeah, y'all see that? Y'all see that? Just do what he did.
Right. Amen.
Simple. God in simplicity. He's simple today. He can be touched today. He can be seen today. He can give you your answers to all your needs today. You don't need to go home with anything. Sickness, problems, questions, no reason. He's here today. And he's in amongst you right here. He's in his people. And if you will just, Lord, open their eyes and let them see who's really here amongst us. You need to know how to run your home? Look around. See what God's doing in other homes. Oh, I ain't saying going out and get the same carpet as John has. I'm not saying go and make your house like Jay's. He's got a nice place. Have y'all been to Jay's? We ain't saying do all that stuff. I'm saying if he's got something in this life that's working and you've got something in your life that's not working, God in simplicity says, that's God right in front of your eyes giving you an example of how it can work for you. If you want it. If you want to sit in a struggle for 3 years, you know what's going to happen at the end of 3 years? You know, I should have put that carpet in like Jay did. I sat on these pins and needles and we tore our carpet up, rolled it off, and we got the tack strip down. We've been living with the tack strip for 3 years. Stepping on them, poking ourselves. And all I needed to do is to do what Jay did, is call the carpet Dan the Carpet Man and have it done. That's simple. If it's working in the body and it's not working for you, find out the secret of why it works in the body. Jim's our tax man. I always point people to Jim. Because Jim, he's like Ebenezer Scrooge when it comes to dollars and cents. He'll squeeze a penny and get 50 cents out of it. He's going to do it. He'll buy something for a penny and have a coupon for 49 cents. And he'll come back with it. That's Jim. So when you're having financial problems, don't talk to me. Jay said he buys anything. He don't mean. Courtney has to do it. Don't go to Jay. But if you got questions on how to budget, how to do, I'm going to send you to God, who's a budgeter. It's just that simple. That's how simple it is to get a hold of God. We make it hard. We make it difficult. We make it like we got to know something, do something. We got to figure this thing out. You're not going to figure nothing out. God is past finding out. You're going to just believe him by faith. You're going to trust him. Take him by his word. Take his word and say, Lord, I don't understand the details, but I'm going to just believe it. How the healing is going to come, I don't know, but I'm going to believe it. How this situation in my life is going to happen and turn out, I don't know, Lord, but I'm just going to believe it. That's how simple it is. God in simplicity. He's amongst us. He's with us. He's dealing with us. If we can believe. Not if we know. Don't wait until you know everything. Just have faith in God. Have faith. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your word. Thank you that you didn't make it hard, because if it was hard, Lord, most of us, if not all of us in this building, couldn't do it. But you made it so simple that even the children can pick it up and understand what it is that you're trying to tell us. You said to have the faith of a mustard seed, just a little bit, that we can say to this mountain, be moved, and it would be moved. Lord, that's so simple, but yet so mighty. And whether the mountain is a job, a home, an addiction, a problem, a mind trouble, a cancer, any sickness, whatever the mountain is, Lord, if we can just have a little bit of faith in your word, Lord, then it will just move out of our way. Thank you for this congregation. I know they love you. That's why they keep coming back. Good to see Alex with us, Lord. We know his heart's here. We love the bride around the world, and thank you for all you're doing. And I ask you to continue to remember Trevor, Lord.
I want to see him here testifying of what you've done for him. I pray for his mom. She's got a mother's heart and mother's love. Comfort her, strengthen her, and keep her strong. I told her she's a strong woman, but she has strength because she has faith in you. I pray for our families here that we would just stand strong, and that we'll let the simplicity of God's word move and abide in our hearts and our lives. Thank you for all you've done. Touch those that are sick and those that need a touch from you. Lord, we know you're able because you said in your word that it's possible. And we ask you to do so, Father. Be with us as we go our way and bring us back on Wednesday night with a desire and determination that we want to please you like we've never pleased you. It never pleases us any more than when we're doing what you ask us to do. Thank you for the ability to stand on your word, to hear it, and to step out on it. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Come on, musicians. We're going to sing Have Faith in God for our deliverance. And whatever it is that we have need of, God will supply those needs. Don't forget, no service tonight, but come back on Wednesday. Yes, David.
I just want to thank God for being here today. And, you know, this place is nothing but the truth. And I love this place with everything that I have. And it's not in the years, it's in the yielding.
That's it.
Because you can be here your whole life and not pick up God.
That's but right.
I just thank God for, I can pick him up and see him, and I can hear him. And this morning he said, get up and testify. So that's what I'm doing.
Amen.
God bless you guys.
Amen. Page 146. I did turn right to it. God is able to do anything that you have need of. He's not hard to get a hold of. Our problem is we don't recognize him when we see him. But he is here. He's alive. And he's well. Alex, you want to say anything? Come and introduce yourself. Give him a microphone. And let's let people know who you are. I know who he is, but some of you might not have ever met him or seen him at a distance.
Well, my wife would tell you I could sit here and talk forever, but I'll keep it brief and short. Been in the Word since I was 6 years old. I started off as a Catholic. Worked my way all the way through getting baptized and confirmed. Next step was brotherhood. But I learned about Brother Branham and the message, and it separated me from that whole life.
Amen.
And so I know both sides, and I know the errors that they have.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little good, but mm-hmm. nevertheless, Christ was preached, and it still was in my heart.
Amen.
And so it bought me. The Lord drew me through that way,
mm-hmm.
so I could know all about it. And so I thank the Lord that I'm able to be able to witness what I'm seeing here, because you don't know how blessed you are.
Oh my, tell him, tell him.
Thank you.
Tell him, go ahead, tell him.
What my wife and I had gone through, I mean, not that they were bad people.
Mm-mm.
They just thought they had to do it by the commandment.
Right.
And not by the word.
Mm-hmm.
And the Spirit allowing the word to get understanding inside of you.
Right.
And so I listened to the pastor for a whole year.
Mm-hmm.
He knows it. And I was like, that's God. That is definitely God.
Amen.
So when you hear the preaching coming out of his mouth, that's thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
That's thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
And you know the word of the Lord goes to who? The prophet.
That's right.
So, son of man,
mm-hmm.
thank you very much for inviting me.
Amen.
And congregation,
mm-hmm.
I met a lot of you already.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciate it.
Amen.
I hope to continue to worship here with all my heart,
Amen.
All my soul.
Amen.
And ask the Lord to keep me.
Yes.
And keep you also.
Amen.
God bless you.
God bless you.
Amen.
You know, sometimes we feel like we got to do it. And I told Sister Christy a long time ago, might have been a year ago, I said, don't worry about Alex. She said, Alex is all right. And she said, well, I want to see him here with me. I said, you will. But don't push it. Don't worry about it. In God's timing, God will do it. You know, it's just like that little chicken, the little chick in that egg. You can't help them. You'll kill them. You try to pull them out of that shell. You got to just let them pick, because every pick on that shell gives them strength. And as they pick their way out of that shell, they're actually helping themselves to be stronger. And so when that chick is born, it's much healthier than even if you tried to pull him out. You'd destroy him pulling him out of that shell. So I thank God for Alex, and good to see him today. And make yourself at home. Amen. Amen. Mel wants to say something.
On the move. Thank you, Lord.
I just didn't want to leave and not say thank you, Jesus, for bringing me here and believing this word.
Mm-hmm.
And I like what you just said. You know, I'm getting stronger every day.
Mm-hmm.
I know I'm not perfect, but I know he has something for me to manifest.
Amen.
And each time I come here, I learn more. I can say amen to every word.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't doing that before.
And
I know it's just things that every day I wake up now and I'm thinking about him. I'm singing a song. I'm changing
amen.
My radio station. I'm like, what is going on? I mean, it is just, it's not, that's why I know it's not me.
Right.
And I thank God that I can see God when he's speaking to me, and I can hear him. And that was really my first revelation. I don't know if it was Clarice or my brother that said, don't take an ear to hear lightly.
Right.
That means so much more now.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't have that, it's dead letter.
That's
nobody can hear it unless he brings it to you.
Right.
And I'm just so thankful that he chose me.
Amen.
Amen. It's all right. God will get you out of every shell that you need to get out of in his time.
Sorry, can I just say one thing?
Mm.
I'm sorry, I'm always a little late.
We ain't got no night service.
I'm always a little late. Last time I got sat down, but I just, you know, God's just pecking at me. He's like, you better get up and say something. I took you through some things this week. And this lady that I was doing some work for, she was just such a blessing just to meet her. The guy that had subbed the work to me, he just wasn't sure if I was going to be, you know, that type of person he was looking for to be able to deal with the customer like how he does. And, you know, he was seeing some of the pictures of the work I'd done, and long story short, he was like, okay, you know, we'll have you come out and do the job and stuff. And his wife was telling me, you know, she's a really sweet lady, this, that, and the other, kind of just trying to prep her for me, you know what I mean, or prep me for her. I don't know if I'm saying it right, but I get there. And she's from Guam, so I'm like, already you're my people already. We're from the same area, you know. So I said, hey, Hafade. She's like, what? So the relationship started just going. It grew. Like, I was only there for like 3 days, but she made us, me and John, breakfast, lunch, and dinner every time we went there. And I told the guy's name's Alex, the contractor that's doing the work for doing the whole full remodel. I said, man, you're in trouble by me right now. I said, you should have warned me about her because, you know, she's been making me all kinds of food and I done gained 10 pounds just being here in the last 3 days. I said, shame on you, man. Next time, just, you know, let me know, you know. And so he was laughing and he seen the pictures of the work and everything. He loved it. And it just took the load off of him. You know, I just appreciate how God prepares everything in my life before I get there. Mm-hmm. And he see when that song, you know, we sing that song, he's already provided so much. So what did we have to do to get it? You know, like we didn't do anything. Mm-hmm. And I just love how simple God is. You know, I see God. I see him in here. Mm-hmm. You ain't gonna hide from me, Lord. No. But I appreciate this place. God bless you.
Amen. 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 God bless you.
One more.
Oh.
Brother Jay mentioned Caleb's graduation, and I just want to take a moment to say how proud I am of him, because the past 6 months he's been going through this academy for the Dayton Fire Department, and it's a tough course. Mm-hmm. If Caleb comes home tired, you know that. You know, it's pretty hard, but you know, he's been able to finish this, second in his class. Mm-hmm. And I'm proud. You know me, I can go on and on about him, but I'm proud. I'm proud that Maverick was able to go to school this year, too.
Yeah.
Last year, you know, it's a big deal. It's a big deal for him to go. And I know God will be with Caleb as he goes through this academy and with his job. And God will be with Maverick, too. As a mom, you know, I'm like, my baby. But he doesn't care about me when he goes. And that's such a huge difference
from
a year ago. And I trusted you when you said, just let him go back to Sunday school, and he'll get better. He'll open up, and he has. So I'm blessed. I'm happy, and amen. So keep Caleb in your prayers as he's finishing this last week. But
amen.
God bless you. I'm happy about that.
Oh, that's right. We're not in a hurry because we don't have service tonight. We're good.
Oh, that's right. I had to say this. I sat on this, and shame on me.
Don't do that.
But I know. I sat on this morning. And my testimony this morning was that my husband was going to walk in that door. And I believe it. I kept saying, I'm believing it. And he kept saying, I'm coming. And I thought, he said that before. Mm-hmm. But I thought this morning, he's coming. Mm-hmm. He's coming. And I was going to step out on that, and he walked through those doors. And I even texted him to say, come join me. Mm-hmm. And he walked through the door. So I'm just thankful
amen.
For him to be here. I'm thankful. I love him to death. I think just thankful for him. And please keep my son, Caleb, in your prayers. He's getting married Saturday. Okay. So I just ask for a blessing for him and his wife. And, I mean, just God to be in their marriage.
Amen.
Caleb was the one we never thought would get married, but he's getting married. His nickname is The Wind because he always said, well, I go where the wind blows. And finally, we don't have all these tornadic conditions. He's settled down, so the wind is settling down. So
amen.
I just please keep him in your prayers and my family because I'm calling them all back here.
Amen.
They're all coming back. So started with dad, so mm-hmm. my children are coming.
Don't amen. You know. There you go.
Amen.
Have faith in God. It's good to have my son-in-law back. I've been missing him for the last 6 months. It's like, it's no joke. But I'm about rejoicing as much as anybody that he's about finished with this academy. You know how it is, Don. We don't get he's been in the books. He's been busy, and I wouldn't even hardly even deal with him for the last 6 months. So I'm excited because I get my Caleb back. So that'll be good. It's good to have you all here. Come back on Wednesday night. Remember, I'm not sure now, Brother Kobe's going to be here Wednesday, but somewhere along the line, we're going to have Brother June drop in on us. So he may be here next Sunday. I don't know yet. Depends. I think the camps usually last about a week. So sometime after that, he'll be headed this way, and I'm excited to see him again. It's been a few years, so it'll be good to have him back. Amen. Have faith in God for our deliverance. Whatever you have in need of, he's a good God. He loves us. Amen.
delay.